Only dolts live in the city for life, I told Margaret. She shrugged. I'll never forget the day we moved out to Red Sparrow Falls. Something changed then, and I'm still uncovering the mystery of what, these so many years later. This is Merlin Yardley Smythe speaking, and you're listening to M.Y.S. Pace. Chapter 1007, Life in the Big City. I have to go out to the dentures repair shop, I lied to Margaret. Moeller's on the fritz again. I hopped in the station wagon and zoomed the some 90 minutes over the majestic bridge and into the cloudy, rough-and-tumble hubbub of the big city, a different world. It had been a decade at least since I'd been here, but it mostly looked the same. The world seemed to hit a point of stagnation, culturally, at some point, and it became one of the great unspoken things, not questioning how or why that was. I made my way over to the Hall of Records. I had pinpointed the time and general location of what I believed to be when and where a Dr. Joe Cravendorf Sr. worked as a psychiatrist. His office was in the same building I had worked in, and though I don't believe I ever met the man, the name and title etched onto a glass door was burnt upon my memory. I was certain. I stopped to phone Margaret to explain the length of my absence.
Yeah, it's gonna be at least another hour and a half. He bungled the whole job. Showed me the mangled choppers when I got back from the deli, in fact. Apparently his sick cockatoo has been blurting out some non sequiturs loudly and randomly. Startled him, and he cracked it all in half.
I made my way over to the Hall of Records and walked up to an elderly woman with purple hair who was on shift in front of the great book. Looking for information on a Joe or Joseph Cravendorf. Worked at the Pelican Building over on 5th. Believe he had a private psychiatry practice, I said. I told her the years he would have been active and she began to thumb through the pages. Just as she did, though, a glaze came over her face. Then a little spittle seeped out of the corner of her mouth. Before I knew it, she was in a full-out epileptic fit or some sort. I rang the bell on the desk loudly until a portly man with wraparound sunglasses appeared from the back. What happened? He shouted. The man dialed for help and I inched my way to the exit. This was really happening, I told myself. And I told myself never to think about Joseph Cravendorf's father again.